Martin Luther, that great reformer, said, "The Bible is alive, for it speaks to me. It has feet, for it runs after me. It has hands, for it lays hold of me." And I think many of the Psalms do that for us. We're going to read Psalm 27. It's a Psalm of David. It's in a little group of Psalms which really talk about where David has been in trouble, has found difficulties and hardship in his life, but his confidence is in God. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. He will set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At this tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, or false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence." And these are the two key verses which sum up the psalm. Let's read them together. "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." You know how you get these emails that people send to you and have these wonderful sort of pictures on, and you sort of look through them and you think, oh yeah, okay, in the bin. I had some pictures this week which I thought were just a great introduction to this message. Let's have a look at these pictures. If you're in the middle of an ice storm and you feel really paralyzed with a coldness of life, then the Psalms are for you. Okay, John. If you're sort of looking at the world from a different perspective to somebody else, and there's a bit of sort of conflict there, and you see things so differently one from the other, and you're confused how somebody else sees it, and you don't see it in the same way, then the Psalms are for you. If you're impatiently waiting, expectantly waiting, but continually disappointed, then the Psalms are for you. If you're a leader, and they're really reluctant to follow, then the Psalms are for you. If the whole thing seems the wrong way up, crick your neck. Upside down, wrong way round. The world is just not really fitting, then the Psalms are for you. And if it's worse than that, and you're really having a rough time with your neighbours and your fellow students, and they're really putting the boot in, then the Psalms are for you. There are three words that came to me from this Psalm 27. And I think I've used this so often when I felt like this. I felt impatient. And this Psalms helps me to realize that impatience is not really on God's agenda, although it's on mine very often. And the next word is weakness or ineffectiveness. Both spiritually, mentally and physically, then this psalm encourages me to be strong, because what I do and where I'm looking is not at me but at the Lord. And then there's sometimes dejection, being dispirited. Paul says to the Corinthians, losing heart. Then this psalm encourages me to be confident and to see that God does and will show me his goodness, not just in heaven, but in the land of the living. Impatience can lead to anger. Weakness and ineffectiveness can lead to an inferiority complex. Dejection can lead to a depressed spirit. And this psalm seems to answer those and lift us up and put us back on track, with God at the head and us following, rather than us at the head expecting God to follow. Over 200 years ago now, William Carey, the founder of the Baptist Missionary Society, or BMS World Mission as it's now called, heard the Macedonian call to go to other nations and share the good news of Jesus. He read about the voyages of Captain Cook, although Captain Cook wasn't a missionary, or not sure whether he was a Christian, he may have been. And it showed Carey that there was a world out there, there were people out there who did not know the gospel. He studied church history and he read the stories of David Brainerd and John Eliot, who were missionaries to the North American Indians, and how they translated the Bible in the language. He read the missionary journeys of Paul, and he had a map of the world on his wall, and he prayed for different countries in the world. And he wanted to feel that there were other Baptists who felt that the call was not just to here, but to out there. And there was a very famous preacher at the time, notable leading Baptist called Dr. John Ryland. And he gave him the opportunity to speak in a minister's meeting. And William Carey said he felt the command to the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel was not just for them, but it was for us as well. And Dr. Ryland said to him some very harsh words. He said, "Sit down, young man. When God chooses to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid or mine." For the theological students among us, he was very Calvinistic. God could do it. He didn't need us. And Carey went away in weakness. He was dejected. He was impatient. He didn't seem to find any supporters in that particular minister's group. And so he decided, as he read his scriptures and he continued to believe, he wrote a pamphlet, a little booklet. And it was called An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathen. It's not the sort of, mind-grabbing title that you would think that he would use, but that's what it was called. And he was able to publish it through a very eminent businessman in Birmingham, who actually was the founder of Birmingham General Hospital in the end. But he enabled him to publish it. And gradually, the idea started seeping into the minds of other Christians and other ministers around. And it was 4 years or so later, from this first occasion when he felt like this and he spoke to this meeting, and he felt dejected, that God laid upon the heart of others to found the Baptist Missionary Society. And he talked about expecting great things for God and attempting great things for God. And on the end of May 1792, they all put a little offering in, and the society was founded, and eventually four of them went to India. This psalm encourages us when we're feeling downcast like that. It helps us to meet with God. And those last two verses which come through, I am still confident of this. Whatever happens, whether there's war going on around me, whether there's trouble around me, or whatever's happening around me, I am still confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. The best is yet to come. And sometimes in the situations we find ourselves in, that's difficult to think about. God is worth waiting for. My father used to be a manager of the co-op. That was when the co-op was the co-op. That was when they had these big, and here's an old word for you, emporiums. Huge furniture and hardware and jewelry store. And he had a secretary called Mrs. Hardman who used to sit in an outer office. And if I, his son, wanted to go and see my father, I had to get past Mrs. Hardman. That was her name. By name and nature. Sometimes I went in as a young lad on my way home from school, because we used to go to school down in the town. And there were a number of other people sitting in the office, commercial travellers, waiting for an audience with my father. Some of them he told, no, they didn't want to buy anything this month or that month or whatever. You know, go away. He'd come out, he'd shake their hands, say, don't want anything, see you next time. Cheerio. Quick as that. Gone. Sometimes there was somebody in his office, and Mrs. Hardman would say, oh, he's got so-and-so in there at the moment. They're sort of arranging to buy certain things for the store, and I had to wait in the outer office. But you know, those visits to my dad were always worth waiting for. Mainly because he usually gave me two bob to go and spend on the way home. That's, in today's money, about 50p or something. But the wonderful thing is, it was always worth waiting for. Or Dad would say, oh, I think next weekend we'll do this. Or we'll go there. Or we'll go and visit so-and-so. Oh yeah, that would be great. It was always worth waiting for. And over the years, as I've had such frustrating times sometimes when I prayed about things and God, the heavens seem like brass and you can't seem to get through to God and he's not really hearing or answering, oh, he's hearing. But he's saying, wait. And I wish he'd send a message down and write on the wall, say, well, wait. But he doesn't always do that. And David was in a similar situation here. And I think there's three things we can see quite quickly. That David's confidence, despite his circumstances. And in the first few verses, we see his confidence here. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's interesting how very often in the Psalms, this aspect of fear comes in. And David is saying, you know, fear just so paralyzes us. It stops us doing anything. If we fear, we're paralyzed. And so he has this confidence, despite his circumstances, despite his fear, despite that evil men advance against him to devour his flesh, despite that enemies and foes attack him, they'll stumble and fall, despite a whole army is besieging him. My heart will not fear. Though war break out, even then I will be confident. That is faith in action. Faith is the anecdote to fear. It is the antidote to fear. Faith in action. And David seems to have this wonderful confidence, expecting great things from God as he rests there, ready to attempt great things for God. Confidence despite the circumstances. The second thing is, we can see his patience despite the delay. It's quite interesting, the next few verses, where these are based on the last couple of verses. I am confident I will see the goodness of the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And the next few verses, from verse 4 onwards, we see how he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To seek him in his temple. Now, what is interesting here is, of course, that if David was in Jerusalem at the time, they didn't have a terrifically good temple, because Solomon was the one who built the temple afterwards. And so he mentions also the tabernacle. At your tabernacle I will sacrifice. But I think what he means, the general feeling is, I want to be and sense the in and sense the presence of God. Whether I'm in my palace, whether I'm in the city, whether I'm out in the countryside, I want to sense the presence of God as if I was in the tabernacle, as if I was in the temple, as if I was there worshipping God in that holy place. And gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. It seems that at times, and we read in David's life, he was sort of displaced when he was pronounced king. Saul was still around. And so Saul said, we're not having another king. And so he pursued David all around the countryside. And we've got the stories of David hiding in caves and all sorts of things. He was displaced. He was supposed to be the king. Samuel had anointed him king. And then he became king of Judah. But it was only about 10 or 13, 12 years later that he became king of all Israel. He was actually displaced from the purpose that God had for him. And you know, that's the most frustrating thing. If you feel God has a purpose for your life, and you feel that you're not getting there, you're displaced from it, then this psalm is for you. Because David said, I want to see the presence of God. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I want to sense God as though I'm in your house day by day. I don't want to be displaced, out of place. I want to be back in place. Worshipping, sensing that you're in my life, sensing that you're using me where I am. Even though you might have a fuller purpose for me a few years down the line, I want you to use me now. Patience, despite the delay. Wait for the Lord. And then the third thing is, not only confidence despite his circumstances, patience despite the delay, strength despite the opposition. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. C.H. Spurgeon said, wait at his door with prayer. Wait at his feet with humility. Wait at his table with service. Wait at his window with expectancy. It's not just sitting down. It's waiting in prayer, in service, in holiness and humility, in expectancy to see God come and work. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me. Answer me. My heart says, seek his face. Yep, I will, said David. Your face, Lord, I will seek. There's little echoes of Psalm 51 that we read here, of David's confession prayer. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away angry. You have been my helper. You've helped me in the past. Lord, come and do it again now. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. David sort of spills over from a confidence in God to saying, I still need to know your way. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting patiently. I want to know your way. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Of course, Isaiah 40 reminds us, doesn't it, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Paul reminds us when he's writing to the Corinthian church, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others who have trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received. And also, we have those verses that say, where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be people of courage. Be strong. That's the word to us from the Psalms. That's the word to us from the Scriptures. That's the word to us today. In God's strength, are you willing to come again to that cross as we were hearing about this morning? We come back and we return to where we started from, the cross. And we say, God is worth waiting for. If we're feeling impatient, if we're feeling weak and ineffective, if we're feeling dejected, he says this, don't allow your impatience to annoy you. Don't allow your weakness or your ineffectiveness to give you an inferiority complex. Don't allow your dejected spirit to paralyze you. I am still confident of this, say, in faith, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, as we wait for him, be strong and take heart. Wait for him. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will turn us and our circumstances and our situations, that we might have confidence in you despite what they are. That you will give us patience when you delay. That you will give us strength despite the opposition, not to fear, but to be courageous and to stand firm for you. May we wait at your door with prayer. Wait at your feet with humility. Wait at your table with service. And wait at your window with expectancy. And then you will open those windows and you will pour out a blessing that we are not able to contain. Glorify your name through us, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.